Hi, I'm Robert.
I'm Jaren.
And this is what we really thought of the movies of 2011 and TV. This is our worst of 2011 and maybe best. We'll see.
We will see.
So, we recorded this once already, and for some reason, only the back half got recorded.
Got recorded.
Yeah. So, thought we would redo this and we'd have a better idea this time around of where to go. And now I'm just putting it off. So, thought I'd start with TV because that's a little clearer
In your mind.
where there's only one thing really of worst TV.
Worst TV ever.
And that was Dexter. Dexter season 6 was absolutely terrible. It didn't have a compelling villain. It didn't have any compelling themes. They destroyed the only compelling character outside of Dexter in an effort to justify a major plot twist that should have happened years ago.
Well, they destroyed her character, but it was justified.
Different show.
I'm gonna use that in my everyday life now.
They do go to Miami like twice.
I'm gonna start using that.
The performances from Michael C. Hall and Jennifer Carpenter are still very good, and I believe I will still keep watching just to see them work, but I'm afraid of what's coming. Considering how they botched the major reveal, major twist, and how they did it, it's going to keep going downhill. The other worst television of last year, sorry.
Go ahead and break everything in my room.
Everything. Well, all right.
Break it.
Yeah. The
Other worst TV.
other worst TV was House, which
Yeah.
is another thing that's been going downhill. Season 7,
Sigh.
the back half was not good. They went through, and again, we're going to spoil everything in this worst
We're
of.
going to
I
spoil
did tap dance
everything.
around Dexter a little bit because that
Snake
one.
kills Trinity with Rosebud. Sorry, I broke your concentration. It's this awesome hand-drawn picture. It was for a spoiler warning, and it just says Snake kills Trinity with Rosebud, and it's Snape
Oh, I
killing
thought you
Trinity.
said snake, like
No.
solid snake.
Yes, Snake kills Trinity with Rosebud, with the sled. Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, so I did tap dance around Dexter a little bit because that's not on DVD yet or home video. Well, House Season 7 is, so I'm gonna go ahead and spoil that. But
Bam.
they,
For all of our many viewers.
again, they spent that entire season focusing on House and Cuddy, which wasn't a relationship I was invested in the first place. I mean, it was sort of interesting at first just to see what they would do with it, with him in a committed relationship. And like Barney and Robin, they didn't really do anything with it. It just sort of happened. Wasn't particularly good or bad, it just.
Was a thing that could have happened, and they eventually did it.
Yeah. It was just something they did
And
to
for
do.
and yeah, and for a storyline, well, like a story concept that they've been like basically batting at for the entire series, it really didn't pay off all that hugely.
Now, the breakup was inevitable, but it was also poorly done. There were some good bits within that. They had a nice musical sequence, which I thought was worthwhile, but that was on its own. Of a piece within the context of that episode, it didn't work. It was just. And the finale was bad too. It was just something where they built up this terrible act that House was going to do that would irrevocably change the relationship of him and Cuddy and the entire series, which you knew it wasn't going to change anything in the entire series because it's way too late in the game for them to do that. And it was just a letdown considering how much they built it up within that one episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they, like, I didn't, all I did was kind of read about the episode and have you tell me about it, but, I mean, they, they keep just talking about this horrible, horrible thing that he did, like, I can never forgive you for, and then it's just kind of like, okay, that was the huge, horrible thing. He's done worse things than this.
He drove a car through a house.
Yes. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think, like you said, like, Cuddy and the kid were in the house, but he clearly knew where they were at in the house. He knew they weren't there specifically in the house. And, again, to reiterate, he's done worse things than that.
Yes.
He's done worse things than that in his dreams. He murdered a man. He murdered a man in an hallucination.
And when they came back, the prison episode was just sort of a waste of time. It was retread of the asylum episode with not nearly as much meaning.
Exactly.
The new cast is okay. I mean, they didn't really add anything new other than replacement for 13.
Yeah, exactly.
They and job, adding a shy person to the cast.
Yep. They basically just whatever. Had to fill their role, which is pretty much what the other characters are doing. They just give him a foil. They just give, you know, Hugh Laurie a foil to work off of, basically. But
yeah. It's not worth watching anymore.
No, unfortunately.
Everything is predictable. I mean, the cases have been predictable for a while now. You can go beat by beat and guess what's going to happen. But the material around that was interesting. The writing was good. You know, it was funny or dramatic or whatever. It's not that anymore.
Hugh Laurie is still entertaining. I mean,
he's good. Wilson is good.
Yeah, you can. That was what was funny, because I did. I haven't watched all of, like, the newest season. I've watched bits and pieces of it, and you still get the same effect that you did earlier on. It's just the overarching stuff that's supposed to connect this all together. It's just all BS now.
So anyway, that was my worst TV of last year. Yeah. What was yours?
Last year. Well, you're trying to. I told you that I don't really have a worst TV, and you know, when we brought up anime, it's kind of hard for me to say what was the worst of last year, because a lot of what I watch is just kind of out of catch up. So I really don't know what I watched that actually came out last year that was bad, but I know you just wanted me to go off on a tirade about something, so I can go off on the one that I saw. I'm gonna say it was from a couple years back, and it was easily one of the worst things like I've ever watched. And it was an anime called Fortune Arterial. There it is. Now, a little bit of background on it. It is an anime. It's basically an anime that's kind of like a high school comedy / drama genre. But more importantly, it's probably based on a visual novel. I don't know that for a fact, but there's a lot of anime get adapted from visual novels where you try to date the girls, and those typically turn out kind of subpar anime already. So I mean, that's kind of not that surprising. But this one was just kind of like particularly bad, and I've seen ones that are more outrageous, you know, like they kind of get into really, really like horribly bad territory. But the reason this one was so bad was because I have no idea who this was made for, because the anime's existence completely baffles me, because it's the anime is almost literally about nothing. Like, nothing happens, even in the context of, like, really crappy, like, comedy high school drama anime, where, you know, like, quote-unquote nothing happens. Literally nothing happens in this.
So it's like a series-long filler
episode? Yeah, it's like a series-long filler episode. And, okay, so, like I said, it's a high school drama-type show. You get into it, and it's standard fare. kid moved away and he's coming back and he's gonna meet some old friends. You know, he's gonna start. He's been moving around to a bunch of different schools and he's finally coming back to an old school that he. I think it was an old school that he went to, but regardless, he's kind of coming back home per se and meeting some new people. And the first girl that he meets, I don't know, she drops something or something causes them to touch each other and there's some type of weird connection there or something like that and she flips out and then runs away or something like that. So, I mean, like, it's already kind of like standard fare, but, like, really, really just kind of dry version of the standard fare. And it just kind of plays out the way it normally would from there. He, you know, you kind of meet the whole gang, so to speak.
I feel like this commercial should be scored with Pumped Up Kicks. I don't know if it is, but it feels like just
it's not,
visually,
but I completely understand.
Like, it's the type that would go along with that.
It does look like the music video for Pumped Up Kicks, so only involving McDonald's.
Yeah.
But anyway, you meet the whole gang that you're going to see throughout the whole thing, and they start layering on the quote-unquote mysteries yet, like, that you're going to figure out throughout the thing, but pretty much you just kind of meet everybody, and it's, like, really, really, I just keep saying standard over and over again, because that's that whole anime in a nutshell. It is literally every anime like that that I've ever seen. And the jokes are standard. They make the same crappy jokes. Like, it just. But it doesn't. In those first couple episodes, it doesn't truly reach baffling, you know, like, levels of stupidity. You have to get a little bit further in, because it kind of goes like that for a couple episodes. Like, I think two or three episodes. I think it's episode three is when you finally start to get into the really confusing shit. But the reason I hated the anime so much, and I had to watch it all the way through just to see if this is literally all they were going to do with it, is because when you get about two or three episodes in, you finally get the reveal as to why she... The girl flipped out when the main character touched her.
She's his sister.
No.
Brother.
Apparently, there are vampires in this show. Like vampires. Like they drink blood, and, like, it's a family of vampires that are in the show, and they go to the school. Now, you would think at this point, the vampire subplot would start to become
the main focus.
Yeah. It is literally something they just touch on in the show.
But they mention it, like, once and then drop it?
Well, it becomes a little bit more important later, but for the most part, you could go this entire show without knowing that vampires exist in the show. If you just cut out the small parts where, like, actual, like, vampiric activity happened. Because other than that, nothing in the show changes. It is just stupid high school drama with, like... Like, oh, this person likes this person, and, oh, that was a funny misunderstanding, you know, type crap. But, yeah, and I'm just watching the show baffled at the fact that they're not even talking about the fact that there are vampires in this show. And even the vampire subplot doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because apparently, like, the way vampires work in this show is, like, the family, they don't just, like, go around just biting people at random. They have to get what's called, like, a servant or whatever that they kind of bite, and that person also, because they're immortal in this show. The vampires are immortal, and when they bite their servant also becomes immortal, and they have to basically listen to everything they say, and that's where they get their blood from, is from the servant. Other than that, they basically drink synthetic blood or some kind of equivalent or something like that. They're basically a rich family that kind of lives off on an island, and this school is also on an island. And the sister and the brother that are in charge of the student council are the vampires, and then the friends that follow them around are their servants. Because you meet one subservient family that's kind of what their thing has been. They've always been kind of subservient to that family. But, like, you would think that there would be some kind of, like, underplot where they're, like, evil vampires and then they're trying to take over the school. No. They are just normal kids that do normal school council stuff, but they happen to be vampires.
Wow.
And, like, I can't even figure, like, they don't even go for, like, the standard,
making,
like,
the fantastic mundane.
Yeah, it's just, like, I'm just, like, every time I was watching an episode of the show, and I'm watching the same stupid, like, I'm watching the same stupid cultural festival episode I've seen 1,000 times in these anime, I can't help but in the back of my mind be screaming, these people are vampires! Why isn't anybody talking about this?
Why do you keep watching them?
Because I need to find out if that's literally all that happens in the show. And, like, the most important that the vampire subplot becomes is that the whole running plot is that the girl that he met that first day at school, her mother said that this would be her last year at school if she didn't pick a servant finally, that she'd have to move back home, and that she wouldn't be allowed outside the island anymore. So the whole thing is the will she, won't she make him his servant, and, you know, he's kind of, like, indifferent to the whole thing for the longest time, until finally he's kind of like, I'll totally be your servant, and then she refuses it. But, like, that's about as, like, dramatic as it ever gets, is, like, this whole, I'll be your servant, no, I don't want you to be my servant, okay. Like, that's as dramatic as it gets. Other than that, it's just the same cultural, it's just school events. It's just, you follow them around to different school events. They have an athletic festival. They have the cultural festival. They go on a beach trip. Like all of the stuff that you would normally see that's just padding in any other anime, this is the bulk of the anime. This is padding the anime. And like I said, like, there's vampires in this. But they just don't talk about it. And it's not like they're trying to hide it. It's just like, it just doesn't come up in the plot. And I can't even figure out why it wouldn't come up in the plot. Like, I was just like, somebody just freak out and start killing people. Just, like, something needs to happen in this. So, you get all the way through, I get all the way through it, and you finally get to the end where they're kind of at the impasse. Her need to drink actual blood has now started to become an issue. And now her mom has moved her back home before anything happens, I guess. So, basically, He's decided he wants to be her servant, but she still hasn't accepted him. So she's taken back to the island. So he goes to the island to talk to the mom, which it's kind of awkward because the mom is basically looks the same age as the daughter because they never age. And like, basically he starts talking to her and trying to convince her to let her go back to school and that it'll be fine. And she's like, no. If she's gonna go back to school, you have to become sort of like, basically gives him an ultimatum, like, you either become her servant so, and she can go back to school, or she's staying here and you're never going to, and nobody, you know, her friends are never going to see her again. And she's like, so basically they're like, she's like, so are you gonna are you gonna become her servant? And he's basically like, no. And she's like, all right, well, I guess that she's staying with us then. He's like, no, she's not. She's coming with me, and I'm not going to be her servant. And everyone's thoroughly confused. He basically chooses the non-option, the option that wasn't there in the first place. And he's just kind of like, she has to live her own life. And if I'm going to become her servant, well, that's our own decision. But we'll decide that one day. But for now, you can't control her life or whatever. And the mom's just kind of like, okay. And I was like, wait, what? This was the only, like, drama in the show, and you let him pick the non-option? Just like, no, we're gonna keep doing exactly what we were doing before. So, yeah, like that's the plot. It's padding, 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 and then the only drama in the entire series, and I might add, this is like a 26-episode, I think, series. This is a full-length anime series of nothing but padding, with vampires sometimes mentioned. It's always kind of the, oh yeah, they're vampires. Oh, okay. just every now and then there's just kind of a slight mention of, oh yeah, those people are vampires.
So it's like a comedy thing? Is it supposed to be romance between the guy and the girl? Or is
yeah,
it just...
it's supposed to be, but it's not yeah. really.
Okay.
Like it's kind of like that weird kind of romance where there's supposed to be a romance going on, but it barely gets mentioned most of the time. You know, like it's understood that there's a romance between these two, but they really don't tackle it very well. So, I mean, like I said, it's all padding. It's all like, that's what dumbfounded me. It was like, it was all the same anime padding that I would always see in like these types of anime, but that was it. Like, that's all it was. And then, and like I said, I probably would have dumped it halfway through if they hadn't have brought up the whole vampire subplot and then ignored it. I had to watch the rest of it to just find out if that's actually all they were going to do with the vampire subplot. Like, somebody actually literally wrote in a vampire subplot and then didn't touch on it until, like, the end of the series. And then I couldn't even, because, like, the one, like I said, the one part where they do start having some type of, like, drama, they completely diffuse the situation and don't decide on anything. It's like, I choose not to decide. At all, and you're going to accept that. End of series. So yeah, that was the worst I've ever watched. Like I said, I think there's probably some that have gotten into more like absolutely batshit insane bad territory. But I've never watched an anime that was just so pointless that I couldn't explain its own existence. Like, I have no idea who was asking for that anime. I don't know who it was targeted at. Or anything, because nothing happens in that anime.
I guess that's it for TV, so...
Tirade over.
Worst of movies, then. I'm going to name off a couple that you haven't seen, just to get those out of the way, and a couple that we have seen, but that we've talked about extensively. So, Conan 2011, that was bad. Apollo 18, Spy Kids 4, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, that was disappointing.
It was.
Oh, but is there a worst? Oh, Cowboys and Aliens, that was...
That was another really disappointing one, because it really should have been better.
Yeah, my most disappointing, though, was In Time, which was... Mm-hmm. From the director-writer of The Truman Show and Gattaca, I guess.
Yeah.
Starring Justin Timberlake and...
Which he'd been on a streak there for a while. Like, he'd had some pretty good roles. Like, I had finally accepted that I liked him as an actor, you know?
Yeah. It was just... There were a lot of good concepts in there that alone would have made good movies. Mm-hmm. And they focused on the least interesting thing. And fuck that up even. Yeah. So, I don't know. There, and it was just over-the-top cliches. I mean, every time they could make a pun about time, they did. Like,
yeah.
We just need to follow the time.
It's a literal line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That literally happened.
Yep. You're running out of time. And Steph Cops, they're timekeepers. Things like that.
It's like,
but the timekeepers was the most interesting part. Like,
uh-huh.
Like that's what I would do if they did a TV series based off of In Time was, mm-hmm. Let's focus on the timekeepers, because...
Those guys are interesting.
Yeah. Well, because I like cop shows a lot, but mm-hmm. also because there you can intersect, you can do the... things of, like, occasionally dipping in on the Bonnie and Clyde people or
yeah.
dipping in on the high society people, which they have.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the guys from Mad Men is, like, basically in charge of the entire country's time or whatever.
And that's the interesting part of it is, like, how exactly does society work when time is your currency? You know, like, there's a lot of crap they could have easily gotten into there that was the least important part of what they were doing.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, and they don't even... It's not very elaborate. It's not thought through well of the Bonnie and Clyde aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually leads to some very, like, just terrible... Oh, that's funny. Just how terrible that is that they just did that. Oh, how'd they get around the fact that the guy who's in charge of basically all the time of the entire country is, or at least the entire sector, which I'm going to go ahead and say is states or the country.
Yeah.
How are we going to get around that once his daughter starts going Bonnie and Clyde on him with the person who kidnapped her? Well, because he's hired like 20 security guards. Guess what? Justin Timberlake shows up as one of the security guards.
Oh.
No one noticed that somehow when screening for security guards.
You'd think they would have. You'd think someone would have had a tighter leash on that.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally a plot point of how are we gonna get to this guy? But just but nobody pays attention.
Well, we just sneak in.
Yeah. Were there any bad movies you wanted to touch on?
No. Like I said, we touched on all of them. It was a disappointing year for horror.
No.
I mean, like, the Don't Be Afraid of the Dark was a disappointing... Was it, you know, like a disappointing movie? The Thing, which was never going to be good in the first place, was still very bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, I'm kind of looking forward to a couple of the more horror-y movies. of this next year, there seems to be a couple of them that. Could be, you know, like horror slash suspense movies that could be interesting. That Daniel Radcliffe movie looks like it might be entertaining.
Oh, maybe.
And that Cabin in the Woods movie.
Oh yeah,
does look good. I mean, I don't know if that's technically that looks more like a thriller and less like a horror movie. But regardless, it seems like it could be an interesting year for horror, at least. A lot better fare than what we had with the. Devil Inside Man.
Well, no, that was this year.
Yeah, well, I mean just earlier this year. Earlier this year and then, like, late last year.
Hmm.
At least I'm hoping, anyway.
Oh, and Green Lantern, that was bad.
Yes, that was bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't just say there was, like, a worst overall. There were just a lot of disappointing and bad movies.
Indeed.
But... there is a bright side, so I guess we can talk a little bit about our best of, and since the last thing I name dropped was Green Lantern,
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say some of my favorites were superhero movies, like, say, yeah. X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
That was excellent. Probably the best of the X-Men series so far.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is that they screwed up the ending.
Yeah.
Which is a big problem, but when everything else is so good.
That's kind of misleading, because that movie didn't... it's not that movie didn't have issues. That movie has some issues, and some very obvious ones if you're willing to, like, just kind of sit there and think about it for even 5 minutes. But everything else in the movie is just... There's so much good happening in the movie, it's really hard to knock the movie too hard for what it does wrong, even when it's blatantly wrong, like how bad they kind of botched the ending.
Yeah. And Captain America, which is probably my favorite of the Marvel movies so far, of the Marvel Studios universe.
Definitely is mine.
That was very good. Yes. Potter was a nice conclusion. Winnie the Pooh, that was a surprise.
Yes, that was a good movie.
I would say that's the best family film of the year. Mm-hmm. Certainly it was Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. Definitely the best animated one.
Yes.
Which is weird considering... somehow it didn't get nominated for Best Animated Feature. Nor did Cars 2, which Pixar, like, I would suspect at this point, has, like, automatic nomination. Yeah, like, there's just the Pixar spot. But nope, they didn't give it to that. Or Winnie the Pooh,
wow.
Which was bad.
Yeah.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes was excellent. I mean, that was better than I was expecting it to be by far.
Especially considering the Planet of the Apes movies we'd gotten beforehand.
I mean, again, there was one big weak spot in which sort of encompassed everything was the human portion. I mean, John Lithgow was good, but James Franco, well, he wasn't bad, he just was bland.
He didn't have anything to do.
The other characters didn't bring anything. There were more plot holes in the human section than the ape section.
Exactly, yeah. It kind of felt a bit like the First Class did, in that sense of there was enough good going on that I didn't really want to knock it too hard for the bad bits that it did have, but those were definitely there.
30 minutes or less, that was fun. Another little surprise.
That was probably... I don't know, it might be a little rushed to say it because I'm trying to remember all the comedies I saw, but I'm pretty sure that was my favorite one.
Yeah, it might be that or Our Idiot Brother. Those were both pretty good.
I did like Our Idiot Brother, but...
Different types where 30 Minutes or Less is more action comedy and Our Idiot Brother is more relaxed. Yeah. It's a leisurely comedy.
Yeah. I was definitely happy to finally see Nick Swartzen in a decent comedy for once. Because I happen to like
followed up like a month later by Bucky Larson.
His worst crime was just hooking up with the Adam Sandler crowd.
I don't know what you see in that guy.
I've always liked Nick Swartzen from back when I first saw his original stand up, and the stuff that he did on Reno 911. I've always liked him. So I mean, like, when I saw a bunch of, like, crappier comedies that he was in, I always felt bad, because I'm like, oh, I like you, but you just pick terrible movies.
Let's see. Drive, like that a lot. Yes. Real Steel, only saw it the once, which I was sort of down on it then, I think, just in the midst of all the hype it was getting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to look at it a little more fondly.
Yeah.
I really just need to see it again to
work
through that.
Yeah. I still plan on getting it on DVD. I know I said back when we reviewed it that I loved it, and I still do love it. I really want to see it again. I don't know if I feel completely comfortable specifically putting it on kind of the best of list, because it doesn't necessarily hold up to the same caliber, but I still really like that movie.
The Muppets, thought that was excellent. That's probably runner-up on Best Family Movie. I mean, it's pretty close.
If Pooh hadn't came out earlier that year, it definitely would have been the top of the list.
Yes.
But I won't lie, my nostalgia for the Pooh movie was a bit higher than the Muppets was, so that's kind of why they fall. They're not too far away from each other, but that's why Winnie the Pooh kind of overtakes the Muppets for me.
I think the last of my head, of course, we haven't seen all of the big award ones just because they don't generally play around here. A number of them are still expanding, like I think Iron Lady just hit here. The Artist.
Yeah.
The Pretentious.
It's starting to make a run around the theater. But now
I'd say probably of the typical fare, the typical awards grabber, whatever, my top two are Young Adult and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Which I didn't get a chance to see, but I do want to see it.
Yeah, it was very good, I thought. Young Adult especially, which I'm very surprised that didn't get any nominations at all.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe Cody got one. Maybe Diablo Cody got one. I got to check, but
I would hope.
I was disappointed, but not surprised that Patton didn't get anything. But I was expecting at least Charlize Theron would get some sort of nod.
Yeah.
Or the director Jason Reitman.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's why I liked. I also.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of video games. Portal 2, of course. That was pretty good.
Oh, it was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Good game.
Mass Effect 2, which was actually from 2010, but I didn't play until 2011.
So it counts.
Yeah. Which reminds me, you still have my copy of Portal 2.
I do. Skyrim goes on the list, even though none of us played it.
What? No.
It is the best game ever. It went on every best list.
I don't count that.
It went on every best list. If it's got, on ours because if it was on every list.
Yeah, if it's got a... if it's got tons of bugs in it, it's not the best.
Yeah.
I know it's huge, but that's no excuse. You just hold off, and you fix those bugs. And until all of those are fixed, I will not play it.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Which is why I will never play it.
That's unfortunate.
Well, that's what I'm saying is my reason.
That's what you're saying is the reason.
Yeah. Deus Ex was disappointing.
That's what you said.
Yeah. Oh, any other good games? There are a lot of good indie games this year, last year. Super Meat Boy.
Mm-hmm.
There was something else that I'm trying to think of but can't. I think I'm out.
Yeah?
I know there's something. At least one. Oh, you know what? I enjoyed Super Mario 3D Land. I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was very quick, though, very quick. I will say Yahtzee's right in that aspect of it does seem like it's like maybe 16 levels that were stretched out to like 60.
Yeah.
But I did like it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
That's all I've got for 2011.
That's everything.
You know what? Best of TV.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah.
There's a lot in there. There's Justified, which we need to pick up right after this.
Yes, we do.
But you blazed through season one, wasn't last year, but you did. Actually, you didn't even watch it last year. You watched that this year, so I guess we can't count that. But can say that you liked it. Season 2, I thought, was excellent, and last year is when I got into Justified 1 and 2. Cougar Town, that was very good. It's a very casual show, and it's, again, sort of like our idiot brother in an aspect where it's a leisurely pace. You don't have to be heavily invested in anything to enjoy it. You can just tune it on and it'll be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Community, Parks and Rec, a lot of comedies.
Yeah, it was a good year for TV comedies for whatever reason.
Breaking Bad probably had its best season so far with year 4, which was absolutely excellent, so you need to get caught up so I can talk about the things that happened.
I'm a whole season away.
Yeah. You're two behind.
I'll get there.
I'm sure there's something. Oh, Suburgatory, that was a new one that's started last fall. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. It's been weird because I've been watching a lot of just random, a lot of random TV, and for some reason, a lot of random TV has been surprisingly decent in this last year. Like that, you know, not all of it's going to be like absolute gold and winners, but like for whatever reason, like I watch something and I'm like, yeah, this works. I can watch this. This can happen. Nothing like jumping out at me like, oh god, that was terrible. Why does that exist?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Except for Terra Nova.
Terra Nova has no fucking excuse.
Well, yeah. I will say, I guess it's 2 out of 3 for Spielberg. He produced 3 shows from the 2011-2012 season. One was Terra Nova, one is Smash, and one is The River. I've seen the pilots for Smash and Terra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen The River because that's like a week out yet. But
from
what I hear, that one's really good too. So 2 out of 3 shows for Spielberg. That's not too bad.
Meatloaf wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Not at all.
Meatloaf's never wrong.
Well, sometimes. Like that thing with the brushes.
What are you talking about? Those were his.
Which was last year, actually.
Those were his brushes.
That was last year. So
and that was his paint, Robert.
Yeah.
Those were his. You don't just take things without asking, okay, Robert?
Oh. You want to talk about Academy Awards?
I don't know, we can.
Want to make this all inclusive?
All inclusive.
I mean, do you have any feelings about any of the things that are on there?
No.
Have you heard about them at all?
No, because I avoid it. I don't even pay attention.
All right, then. Well, I guess that's all we have to say.
I mean, you can ask me about it, and I'll tell you my opinion on it, but I don't really usually pay
attention. The artist opinion? Smiling face.
Nope.
Smiling blank face.
Nope.
like Steve Carell in the 40-Year-Old Virgin poster. Nope. Best actress, Glenn Close as an old Victorian woman dressing like a dude. Versus Viola Davis versus the girl with the dragon tattoo versus Meryl Streep versus some woman playing...
Wait, the girl with the dragon tattoo's in there?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, suppose... literally the girl playing the girl with the dragon tattoo.
I don't know. I suppose that's that was the... if I was going to take something out of that movie that I enjoyed, that was it. So, there's an opinion.
All right. Best actor, some guy from a movie... George Clooney.
Some guy from a movie.
George Clooney.
Guy
from The Artist, Gary Oldman for Tinker Tailor, and Brad Pitt. Got any favorites?
Is the George Clooney one for the
Descendants?
See, I am happy to see that one get some stuff, because like I said, I did like the movie, and I did think it was a good movie, so I'm certainly not upset to see it getting some award nods. Because George Clooney was good in that movie, so
he was.
You know. Gary Oldman's always good. So
Best Picture list: The Artist, The Descendants, Tom Hanks, 9/11, The Help, Hugo,
Tom Hanks in 9/11,
The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse. We've seen half of those.
Yeah, we actually have.
Do you have a preference out of any of those that we saw? I guess Descendants. Hugo, Moneyball, Warhorse?
No, because all of those movies were movies that I liked, but were just kind of, like, generally indifferent towards.
I'd say if any of those, I'd probably have a preference for Hugo, just because
it's... Yeah.
But
it's really hard for me to do that, yeah. Because the back half of that movie is just so...
Mm-hmm.
But that opening... I don't know, maybe I should give an award to that movie for that opening alone.
Best Supporting Actor, Gilderoy Lockhart versus Jonah Hill versus Nick Nolte versus Christopher Plummer versus Max von Sydow. Yeah.
In an all-out duel?
Yeah.
Is this like a fist fight?
Yeah, fist fight.
Dude, the Academy Awards are getting awesome.
Hardcore this year, man. They went Fight Club.
Yeah, the Academy Awards have gotten a lot more interesting since they teamed up with Ultimate Fighter to have their cage matches now.
Oh, we've seen like four out of five. Well, I've seen all five, but Best Adapted Screenplay. Yep. The Descendants versus Hugo versus The Ides of March versus Moneyball versus Tinker Tailor.
I had forgotten about Ides. I liked Ides of March.
Yeah.
I really did.
I did too.
George Clooney had a couple of pretty good movies that year, didn't he?
Yeah. I wouldn't put in the best of, but no, it was solid.
It's definitely a solid movie, yeah. I like being reminded of what I did when I watched.
Yeah. You have any preference on those?
No.
I just think it would be fun to see Dean Pelton win an Oscar.
You know what? You're right. There you go.
It's not necessarily the best out of those five, but that's the most entertaining.
I want to see him pick
it's
up
like,
an Oscar.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen Banksy win an Oscar last year for that documentary film. Not just for it being the best, which it probably was, but because it would be fun to see him go up on stage.
Yep.
Best animated feature, A Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango.
We got Rangoed.
Yeah. Rango, clearly. I mean, since there's no Winnie the Pooh for some reason.
For some reason. That's you know what? The award goes to Winnie the Pooh.
Writing campaign?
Yep.
Oh, you got pooed. That's what they say on screen. Like they and the winner is, oh, you all got pooed. Ha ha, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh gets it.
Yeah. What? That wasn't even...
I'm here to accept via satellite from the 100 Acre Woods. It's Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, best original score. The Adventures of Tintin, The Artist, Hugo, Tinker Tailor, and War Horse.
I don't know. I particularly enjoyed the score in Hugo, but that's because, you know, of how well it meshed, which it's Scorsese, so
yeah,
that's not surprising.
I'd probably go with War Horse. Yeah. I liked all the woodwinds on that. Although I have heard, you know, because The Artist is a fake silent movie, it's probably going to depend on the score.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the score has to be good.
Yeah, it has to carry it.
It's what you're hearing.
See, best original song, Man or Muppet versus Real in Rio.
I don't know, man. That one's a toughie.
That is just ridiculous. Really? Those are the two?
That is just a joke category, isn't it?
Okay. Oh, all right, last one. Well, not the last one, but the last one that I think you may have an opinion on.
Maybe.
Best visual effects. Potter, Hugo, Real Steel, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, or Transformers 3?
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, there's, a, like, the, because, I definitely like some of the visual stuff they had going on in Hugo. And I like I said, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I did really like what they did in fucking Real Steel. I mean, like it actually looks like big robots fighting each other. I
yeah,
mean, that's really cool. But I'd have to give it to the apes, because that's a completely, you know, CG cast of apes, and while it's not perfect, that was pretty damn close to, you know, realism. You know, with those scenes. So yeah, I would have to give it to that. But those are just my personal taste. That's the Academy's probably gonna go way outside. They really gave Transformers a nod for that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, if you're gonna say
anything, I think all three of them have gotten one.
If you're gonna say anything about those movies, I suppose you could say those have some intense special effects going on in them.
Yeah, if nothing else.
That doesn't necessarily mean they were used well. It just means there was some intense special effects going on.
Hmm.
So yeah, I guess that was our Academy.
Yeah.
Shows how much fucking attention I pay.
So that was our best and worst of 2011, plus bonus Academy Awards talk.
And me ranting and raving about an anime for,
well, it's part of best minutes and worst. All right.
Yeah, that's a complete side section.
So we hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with your friends, neighbors, and people who can employ us.
Your dog.
Your dog will be very helpful.
For your dog.
For food. And love. We have a Facebook page. We also have a website, the Wawasee Group. The web address for that is wawaseegroup.blogspot.com. That's WAWASEE group.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening.